Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today we're going to talk about a couple different things. I want to talk about deflation, stagflation, and inflation, and how it's affecting the economy and how it's going to affect how you invest in your life long term. There's been this big argument between deflation and stagflation and inflation, which is obviously winning right now. But the discussion has been about technology and is it deflationary and what is it doing to the workspace and the Great Resignation. I think the Great Resignation is a clear sign of technology either pushing people out of the market or they're finding different ways to make money with technology. So whether they're in creating online businesses or were they invested in crypto or maybe Robinhood might have made a lot of people money during 2020, and so they don't feel the need to have to go back to work. Because keep in mind, the labor market that has a high unemployment rate is in the service industry. And so most service jobs don't really pay that much money in the first place. And so some of these people could have decided not to go back to work because they made a lot of money doing crypto or, you know, in the stock market. So if you're getting paid $7 an hour, which is minimum wage, most places $7.25. If you're getting paid that and you can make this money trading crypto or stocks, why would you go back to work? Or they're just sitting around waiting for the government to give them more money, which is also a possibility because, like I said before, if you were making, again, at these service sector jobs, if you were making $12,000 a year working full time, and if you were on unemployment and you were making $10,000 a year, would it really make sense for you to keep your job working 40 to 50 hours a week doing something you really don't like to do? So that is what I think is going on. And I'm also wondering if, do you guys think that these people that are quitting now because they did get money from the government are going to try to come back to the workforce in a couple months to start looking for jobs? I was having this conversation with my cousin, and this is what I'm going to get into about deflation. I think what's happening with technology is deflationary because if you think about it, when you own a business, labor costs and manufacturing costs of whatever your product is normally are the bulk of your business. It's, you know, any of that labor is number one for a business. So with technology being what it is now, it's taking away a lot of jobs for people. So I think what happened in 2020 when we had the pandemic, it just accelerated technology because during that time frame, people or businesses had to learn how to pivot and use technology to make sure their business stayed alive. So I think that caused what was going to happen in the future with technology to be accelerated to right now. So, you know, these are just my opinions. I think we're heading into a deflationary environment long term because, like I mentioned before, if you go to certain Amazon stores, all you need to do is go into the Amazon grocery store, grab what you want to get, and walk out. If you have like an Amazon Prime account, they don't even have any cashiers in there or a place for you to check out. Like, this is the future. So these are all the things that were accelerated. So if you were a cashier at a Publix or a grocery store or like a Walmart, even look at the self-checkouts that they have almost everywhere now. At some point in time, all of these different places like this are not going to have as many employees because they're going to have nothing but self-checkouts, or they're going to even be more advanced like Amazon. You walk in the store, grab what you want, it's labeled. You have to probably, you know, sign in with your Amazon Prime when you walk through the door. As soon as you walk out of the door, it's going to scan whatever you have in your hand or in the cart. I don't know how it works, but I've never been to one of those stores. But that's an example of what I think is where the future's headed. You know what I mean? If you live in California, I don't know about other states, but you can order your groceries in California. I mean, Amazon Fresh will deliver it to your house. Even before then, they had this thing called Munchery 3 or 4 years ago, where you just order your food, your meal in it, the box. And it was like all of your ingredients to make an entire 5-course meal. And it just came. I would order it when I was super busy. I would just, as soon as I would get to my house, it would be sitting outside. I just got it and opened it up and cooked the whole meal. It just came ready to go. So it's like, if you worked in a restaurant, you can order restaurant food. Now, you know, nothing's weird with delivery, but I'm just saying, like, if you want to cook your own food, not delivery, you can order, I think it's called Blue Apron. You can get these type of meals delivered to your house. So like, if you are a server or you worked in a restaurant, like, everything is basically changing. So the whole service industry right now, where there's a huge job loss, I mean, I think it's going to continue. And the strength of an economy is the production of an economy. We already don't produce a lot of things in here. So the economy of the U.S. was a service-driven economy. Almost everything here is service-driven. So if you take that into account, everything that I just said, all of these jobs are becoming obsolete. And so if these people were thinking, I'm going to take this time off because the government gave us money, and, you know, whenever the government doesn't want to give any more money, then they're going to probably be looking for a job. But then who knows when that time is, when they go in there and they can't get these jobs anymore, because I don't want to say people's spending habits. People's spending habits did change. People shop online more than they did before. So retail is obviously going to change. In addition, people probably not eating out as much because of the pandemic. So people are ordering more food. So you don't really need servers. So, you know, LA is driven by a lot of small businesses. And right now it's not doing too well because a lot of these small businesses, which are typically restaurants, they couldn't get people to come in there. You know, valet parking, there's so many different things with LA that have changed because LA is a huge market, 17 million people here. I can't even tell you the number of restaurants. I think one time I looked was 4 or 5 years ago, it was 670 restaurants just on the west side alone. And because I was looking for something to eat, and I just happened to look, and it, you know, the results came up like 660 something. That's a lot of restaurants. And so, you know, if people not going to these restaurants and doing all these different things, then they can't afford to keep paying. But as deflation, I think the deflation argument is where it is, because, again, like I said, if labor costs is the bulk of your business, shipping costs are kind of high, but they're going to go back. And if you don't got to pay as much for your workers, or you don't have any workers, you don't have to push that money to the consumer. So less employees means less spending for a business, means they don't have to charge you $20 for something that they can charge you $9 for, because they don't have to pay 2,000 employees. So that's why I think technology is deflationary, and people aren't seeing that. So one of my friends always brings up, robots are going to take our job. No, robots are going to take the job of people in the States or in, you know, Western countries. I don't know what Europe is like. I haven't been there since 2018. So I don't know what that environment is like in terms of when you go to the store. But when I went to Spain in 2018, when I went to Burger King, there was a giant kiosk, whatever this thing was, in the middle of the lobby. And you went there and you placed your order on the computer screen or whatever that was. I don't even know what it was. It was like, you know, 4 or 5 monitors just in a circle, and you just walked up to it and you made the payment. And so that's how you ordered your food in Spain. And so I ordered my food from there. I even paid right there. And then I went to the counter and just grabbed my food. I had never seen anything like that in the US until, I don't know, last week, I went to a place called Habit Burger in El Segundo. And they had that machine. This is obviously years later, 2018, 2021. This machine was in the middle of the floor when I walked in Habit Burger. I just went there 4 months ago because I met a friend who came in town there. So we went there and we went and got something to eat. And so, you know, 4 months later, I go back in there and I'm like, what is this machine? That same machine I've seen in Spain. So if it was happening in Spain in 2018, the technology over there is probably way more advanced than it is now, here now, because if I'm just seeing this here and it was over there already, then they're probably way more advanced than we are in the States. So that, again, these are all things that are going to be deflationary. I don't think anybody's really paying attention to this. So there's 100 million people that are unemployed. People need to dive deeper and see where is the unemployment is at. And obviously, if it's in the service sector, that's going to affect a lot of people. So the people listening to this podcast, I don't know what you guys do for a living, but I know you're going to have to try to figure out if your job is replaceable by automation. You know, everybody's trying to lean toward automation. And if your job is replaceable by, you know, a computer, then you should probably think about looking for doing something else. Like I was watching this guy on YouTube and he was saying people should probably think about becoming plumbers or electricians or things like that, because those positions aren't really going anywhere. You can't pay a robot to come into your house and fix your electricity or your the wiring in your house or to fix the plumbing if you have a leak. So these jobs are going to be in high demand. So if you're going to be in any kind of service position, I think it would be something like this. People might laugh if you're like, oh, I'm a plumber. But if a plumber is making $150,000 to $200,000 a year, which is pretty likely in the future, I mean, why not become a plumber? So I think if you want to have a job, this channel is always about investing in becoming financially independent. But in the meantime, if you can't do that, I would pivot. You know, I would pivot from what you're doing if you see that it can be replaced by a computer or they can program a monkey or something to do it. I don't know, but analyze your current situation and think about that. So with that being said, it would be a good idea to maybe invest in tech companies long term, because if they can pay employees less, that means they're going to have a higher profit margin, which means the stock is going to be worth a lot more. I would invest in AMD, chip company. You know what I mean? As technology, you know, continues to do what it's doing, people are going to need more chip for certain things. So I think technology long term is a good play. But in the meantime, I think you guys need to develop some kind of skill sets. And outside of, you know, if you do work in the service industry, I think you need to figure that part out. I mean, yeah, hop online and do some things like that. But I don't think people are really paying attention to what technology is doing to the U.S. These are not problems that are worldwide. You're not going to have these issues if you go to somewhere like Mexico. They're not, technology is not booming like that. I mean, it's, these are first world problems. So if you want to have something similar to what you're doing now, you can always go to another country and do it. But it'd probably be hard to get a visa to do what you're doing right now in another country. They're more likely want to give it to a citizen of that country. But anyway, we know inflation's here. Inflation's going to keep picking up. And, you know, you might have heard me mention this on a previous podcast. I think we are in stagflation right now. We are in a high inflation period with super high unemployment, which is stagflation because people aren't working. And it goes back to what I just said. So people were so, you know, a lot of people say, oh, we're not heading into inflation, which clearly they were wrong about that. And now the Fed is trying to backtrack and say that it's not transitory, it's here to stay, which it is, because the same restaurant I went to, Habit Burger, I went there, like I said, 4 or 5 months ago, and I got a burger. The same burger was $8. And then I went the other day and it was $13. For the whole thing, I'm like, $13 for this burger. And it's like a fast food restaurant, but it's a really good burger. $13 in that amount of time. So, I mean, inflation's here. And if you have a restaurant like that, do you think the restaurant owner, if, say, for instance, people have been paying this $13, they have been because it was busy when I was in there. If this $13 continues for the next year or so, when inflation does subside, do you think this restaurant is going to be like, all right, we're going to lower our burger price back from 13 down to 8 again? Why would they do that if people have been paying for the whole year to do that? I don't, like, it wouldn't even make sense for you to drop your price. That would be a bad business move if for a whole year you got people paying $13 and all of a sudden we're going to 8. So I think this is not transitory. Transitory could be with energy. I can say that, but I think as far as restaurants and people going out to eat and the cost of food, you might see a dip in like grocery shopping, like paper towels. They could just throw up a sale or something like that. But I think for assets like the housing, I don't really see houses just coming back down 20%. If they went up 20%, then you would have to have a extremely, extremely terrible market correction to get the prices back to where they were before the pandemic. So I don't see housing correcting 20 or 40%. That's that'll be a basic crash. So I don't really see that happening because there's low inventory. There's not enough houses in the market. So to think that these housing prices are going to come back, that'll be crazy. So I think inflation is here to stay. I think these prices are going to be these prices. So knowing that, that's another way you guys need to navigate the current economy. And so if it's going to be the way it is, probably for the next, I'm going to say through 2024, we're already at about 20% inflation rate. And if you got 20 grand in the bank, that means you got to make $4,000 for the year. I keep saying this. So I'm not telling you guys to go out there and take your 20 grand and double it. Just take the 10 grand and see if you can make, you know, $4,000. If you take the 10 grand and you make 4,000 and put that money in the bank, then you basically broke even for the year and inflation didn't bother you. But if you can't do that, then you're basically going to lose $4,000 a year or more as the inflation rate keeps rising. So these conversations that you might see on CNBC or whatever you're watching, if you're even watching it, don't listen to these people. Obviously, hedge funds run these organizations or these companies. So take, for example, with this new variant that came out. This new variant supposedly came to like November 9th. They waited until Thanksgiving night when the market was closed to make this random announcement about the variant. And what did it do the next day? It shot the markets into a spiral down. That's because the market was overinflated and it didn't seem like it was coming down. So when you do things like this, you create entry points for other hedge funds to get in because the correction, especially it was in oil, it was in commodities, which oil was overinflated. So if you guys follow the news, you know, Biden was trying to tap into the oil reserve that we have and he'd been negotiating with other countries to try to decrease the energy costs. It didn't work. And then I think he had an issue with tapping into the SPR. That didn't work. So the next best thing to do would be something like what he did.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get into real estate investing? You can change this as quickly or as slowly as you want to now. Imagine yourself networking and making new connections in real estate globally, or buying an investment property in a market or country that fits your needs. People do. They know what I'm talking about, and now you can too with InvestFAR. Connect and join the network. Remote investing made safe and easy.
The market took a dip so heavy because no one was around to be able to buy up what other markets were selling off. I mean, Europe was open. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving. China, all these markets had this massive sell-off because of something that they announced, and there was nobody to come in and buy it up. So then the next day, we come in, and what typically happens when you have a large sell-off, other people do the same thing, and that's what happened. Over the next 2 or 3 days, it was just a huge sell-off. I think it kind of finally, people came in and started buying in, probably institutions, got their entry point, which is what they did. Because first of all, who's open on Thursday to who's working to publish something like this on Thanksgiving? And why would you do that at the end of the month? Because you know that that's typically when market cycle, and you know that you can, like, who's not going to be like, oh my God, if you're sitting around eating with your family and you get this, that's what happened. I got this bombshell notification from CNBC, which I'm like, okay, you're supposed to be, you know, eating Thanksgiving right now, but you out here posting this stupid article on something that you knew almost 25 days ago. Now you want to post it? Come on, man. So market manipulation is a real thing. And so that's why you guys got to kind of really be diversified in other countries, because if you had money, all your money in, you know, the stock market, you just got killed. I mean, I think I lost $3,000 to $5,000 within that 2 days alone, just based off that news. And it's obviously because of what I'm invested in. But I have money in crypto, and crypto sold off, but it recovered a lot faster than the market did. And the market sold off up until Wednesday. I mean, crypto sold off for a day and it came back because that market can't be manipulated as heavy right now. But trust me, eventually they're going to get over to crypto like they do everything. I mean, this is a capitalist country. So nothing's going to go untouched here if it's making people money. So eventually they're going to get over to crypto and do some manipulation. And when they get there, it's probably going to be through Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is the grandfather of all coins. So if Bitcoin dips, everything else is likely to dip. So most institutions are investing in Ethereum and Bitcoin. Ethereum, most of the other tokens are built off the Ethereum platform or the Bitcoin platform. So if they manipulate those two coins, then it's going to obviously alter the value of other coins. So I think it's coming. So nothing's safe. So that's why I think you need to get into investing in other countries, because what they do over here, there's a lot of money over here floating around between these hedge funds like BlackRock and other institutions. So they can manipulate like that. But same thing happens in other countries. But like, for instance, the Colombian stock market, they have whales. They don't have large institutions like they do in the U.S. They have whales of investors. And these whales, if they move their money out, it's going to move the entire market like the same way that a hedge fund would in the U.S. So there's a little bit different. So it does happen. But if you invest in real estate and things like that, or a business in another country, then you're kind of safe from the manipulation that people can do from these firms or the government or whatever the case is. So that's why I'm kind of always getting you guys to diversify and not keep your eggs in one basket. That's why I'm saying that, because things are always going to be manipulated when you're in a capitalist country and they have lots and lots of money to be able to do it. And then the narrative controls everything. People are always talking about stay woke, but man, these people are over here in comas. You know what I mean? They're not even the people that think they're woke, they're not. Because half the stuff that's going on, they wouldn't have elected the person that they elected. It just wouldn't have made sense. I mean, I'm not saying the other person was any better, but we wouldn't have the situation if we were woke and paying attention to what was going on with the policies that this person was talking about enacting. Ask anybody that you know, do they know why they voted for the person that's in the office right now? They probably don't know. I mean, I asked a bunch of people, why are you voting for him? I don't like Trump. That's your reason for voting for him? You have no idea what his policies are? You have no idea what he's going to do when he gets in? Nah, I just don't like Trump. And now half the people that voted probably think like that. And look at what happened to the country. Now the U.S. is in a fast downward spiral. And I don't know if we're going to get out of it. And you know, again, based on this pandemic, how it was handled was basically how the election was won. When Trump was in office for the 1 year when the pandemic was hit, 200,000 people died. Now we got the man that was going against him. Biden was saying he mismanaged the pandemic. This man has mismanaged the pandemic. 350,000 people have died, and he had the vaccine. The vaccine hadn't even really got here yet, and Trump, you know, so I'm not condoning either one of them as president. I don't vote. That's not my thing. I'm just saying, but like, the person in office has killed more people, if they want to call it that, because that's what people are saying. He has killed more people, 350,000 plus, and he has had the vaccine. He's only been in office for a year. Look what he's done to the economy. So what has he done? Look at what he's done with the border crisis, which no one's talking about that. The border crisis is the worst that it's been in 30 years. Inflation is higher than it's been in 30 years. More people have died in this 1 year than they did under Trump with no vaccine. So I don't know, man. I don't know if it was a good decision, but hey, it ain't my call. So people can sit here and complain about what happened in the U.S., but if you voted and you voted for the person in there, you can't really say that. You know what I mean? You can't really do that. Who knows how the U.S. would have turned out with the other person in the office, but I'm just saying, this, we get what we chose. So I think, you know, a lot of people are having these. And I think the biggest, to me, my biggest thing with Trump was he didn't have a filter. And I think if he did what he did and he had a filter and he wasn't on social media, he would probably still be the president. I think Biden is not saying anything. He's doing a whole bunch of shit, and everything that he's doing, and none of it's advantageous to anybody in the U.S. And it's just going to get worse because he has 3 more years and they just feel the need to, you know, keep spending money and thinking spending is going to get us out of this situation. And it's not, just making everything worse. So this whole agenda that he had with bridging inequality and unifying American people is not what happened. So who knows what's going to happen in between now and the next 3 years. That's why I think you guys should be prepared, because if this all happened in this short amount of time of a year, what do you think can happen for the next 3 years? I am not a reactive person. I'm a preventative person. I hate damage control. If you just take into account what has happened in this year's time frame, you don't need to be reactive because, I mean, that's when you get messed up, because by the time you react, it's too late. And that's what I keep saying with recessions. By the time the recession hits your front door, it's too late. Everything has a lag. So I think you guys should be preventative. And that's why I'm trying to get you guys to invest and get out of the country, get out of the market. As scary as it might seem for people that have not traveled or lived abroad, it's really, really not that bad. Again, why would your country tell you to go to another country? So, you know, you go to the U.S. and they have all these, you know, grades on countries that you go to, like, don't go here because this is going to happen to you. They obviously don't want you to leave because that's going to take away from them being able to tax you. And who wants people to leave their country? Not too many people want that, but the U.S. specifically. And even if you do, now they got the international tax. So if you go somewhere and start a business, obviously they're going to get you for that. But if you go somewhere and get a job and you give people citizenship, then that's just one less person they get the tax. So they really don't want you to leave. So I get it. But I mean, there's so many more opportunities outside of the U.S. Is it going to be as easy? Probably not. That's why I think people should get with technology, do an online business, get some Amazon, you know, company going, or whatever. You got to figure out how to build in an income stream that will allow you to live abroad and you just come back and forth, because look at what's happening. Get in front of it. Don't be behind it. So deflation, stagflation, and inflation, these are all three economic things that I think people should go and look up so you can understand. Because if you can better understand these three things, it also show you where you should be investing. And then it also show you the cycle that we're in the stock market or in real estate or whatever economic cycle we're in. So I think you guys should go ahead and do that. You know, write it down and do your research on that. But I think investing in real estate abroad would be the play. Because it's a hard asset. Real estate tend to appreciate, you know, 10% year over year. Right now, with inflation being what it is, it's obviously going to go a lot faster than 10%, maybe 15 or 20, which is exactly what you need. And it's a hard asset. So at the end of the day, you really can't manipulate. You can maybe manipulate rent prices a little bit because the cost of things, but you're still going to be able to make money on cash flow. And you can hold this asset forever. So even if the market does go up and down, you're still going to be able to make money on it. So I think you guys should get into real estate and crypto. And so if you think about back to technology, technology is deflationary. So everything is going to go kind of into the metaverse. Everything is going to go online. I think if you want to invest in something, even if it's real estate, I'm not telling you to do it right now, but if you have the money to invest, I would invest in land in the metaverse. I was watching another crypto episode with this guy on YouTube, and he said he was looking at a land plot. The land plot was $3,000, and then he went on there a week later, and that same land plot was like $12,000. This other company recently, I saw this last night, dropped $600,000 for a huge land plot in the metaverse, and they used the Mana, M-A-N-A crypto. I think you guys should look at that coin as well, because that is the coin that they're going to use to buy land in the metaverse or in crypto in this, you know, this whatever this space is. So everything is going online. So knowing that people are out here dropping $600,000 on land plots in the metaverse, that's a lot of money. And whoever this is had to be a firm. Like I said, SoftBank dropped $90 billion or $90 million into the sandbox. They dropped. So, I mean, go where the money goes, you know, wherever the money flows, that's where you should be going. So if people are dropping this much money on NFTs, an NFT, you could drop an NFT for $300 and then within 5 days, it could be worth $200,000. That's kind of where I think people should be going. So, you know what? There's always a play. There's always a play that you can do. And if you want to really make moves with what the government's doing, go look up and see what the government's putting money towards. Because if the government's putting money towards it, that means they don't want to do it. So they're about to dump money into pre-K. If I were you, I would try to figure out how to do pre-K or after school care, because they're $1.8 trillion is going toward pre-K and after school care. I think $36 billion is going toward pre-K and then whatever else is going toward after school care. So go out here and start an after school care business, because then you can get money from the government to fund your business. So, I mean, these are different things that you could be doing. So then you got The metaverse. We all know the metaverse is coming. Everybody's been online. Gaming's online. Everything is going online. People are going to eventually be living online. Sims. All these other games. Like, they've been around forever, but this is where it's going. So it's like the dot-com boom. That's what crypto is. Obviously, they're trying to, they're not going to get rid of crypto because people are making too much money and they can tax it now. So they want people to get into crypto so they can, you know, if this dude that made, you know, turn 8,000 into 5 billion, they're going to tax the hell out of this guy. Why wouldn't they want other people to do the same thing? They want that. So then crypto is going to be here. It's not going to be a currency. Like I said, months and months ago on a podcast, I was like, it's impossible to turn crypto into a currency, because if I had a coin and it was worth a dollar and I went and bought a Snicker bar, and then 2 weeks later, volatility would never be a currency. So they would have to get heavily regulated, which I don't think they can do that because the technology is too crazy. So it won't get regulated. You don't got to worry about that. Certain coins like Bitcoin, they're trying to use Bitcoin, but it's just going to be an asset class like the stock market. So I think get into crypto. Look up the technology, like I said on the last podcast, because that's where we're going. Real estate, it doesn't matter in what country, what environment, real estate on the internet, having a web page is real estate. So if you go and buy a domain, like my domain, investfar.com, I think I paid 5 G's for that thing. But you can go and buy something like chickenwing.com, and that might be $1 for the year, $20 after that for the year. Do you see the difference? Because the real estate is different. So for whatever reason, that name that I have for investfar.com was a very expensive name. Chickenwing.com, not that expensive. So real estate, it doesn't matter. The environment is going to be expensive. If you can get into an area, like a new subdivision, when they're building out, if you get that first home in a subdivision and they start building, your home is going to be that much more valuable once they finish the community. It is the same thing with the metaverse. It is the same exact thing. It doesn't matter where real estate is. That's why real estate is amazing. So if you can get into real estate in the metaverse, do it right now. It's going to be worth a whole lot in the next 5 or 10 years. I think the instant gratification is what people need to get away from. I haven't bought anything in the metaverse yet as far as land, but I do own Mana. I do own the Sandbox. I do own AMP. These are all things that are geared around real estate. I would buy AMP. But if you look up AMP and what it does, it's around assets. It's around purchasing digital or physical assets. That's why I bought AMP. So look at that. And again, I mentioned Mana. I will get Mana because that's the token that you need to use to buy land in the metaverse. The Sandbox is basically the metaverse. So if you know this is where we're going, Facebook is like, it dictates a lot of things that happen in the world. If Facebook changed their name to Meta, it's only a matter of time. So this is why I keep telling you guys, be strategic about what you're investing in. Start to gradually AMP, I don't know what it is. It's not a lot. Drop $100 in there. Drop $100 on the Sandbox. The Sandbox is $6. Whenever you get some money, whether it be $20 or $30 or $40, it's going to take a while for these things to just boom. It could happen overnight, but as of right now, what we're talking about, the metaverse is not the biggest thing yet. It's eventually going to get there. Facebook just changed their name maybe like a month or 2 months ago, but give it 2 years from now. And like I said, it's like when you get into a new subdivision, you get the first house. It takes almost a year or 2 years to build out the entire subdivision. And then, you know, if you can own land plot in there, you're like, now I'm not selling my land plot. When they start building out communities, look at gentrification. They go through and they start buying up things in neighborhoods and they make them more expensive. If you sit on a house in a gentrified neighborhood, eventually the person's going to knock on your door and offer you, hey, I'm going to give you this amount of money because you're the last house in here that looks like this. And we're trying to make the neighborhood look a certain way. So if you get in here and you sit on this land for however long, it's going to be worth a whole lot more when the metaverse gets built out. So this is kind of what I would do to hedge for deflation, stagflation, or inflation. I mean, it might take a while, but do when it's low, when you have the money. Like the guy that made the $5 billion, he bought Shiba Inu when it was 0.00001 or something like that. And it took him 12 months to become a billionaire off of $8,000. That's life-changing. So that's kind of why I'm trying to get you guys to go in that direction. I'm not a crypto head. I'm a real estate head. And so I know if you can get real estate in any space, it's going to do you some good. So If I were you guys, that's kind of where I'll be focusing my attention and learning more about the metaverse and land and how that's going to go. I think gaming is going to be a big thing. Gaming is already a big thing, but you can get into gaming crypto. Like, what's that? Revamon. Revamon is a good one. Revamon's pretty cheap. You can only buy it on certain platforms because it's not on Coinbase or things like that. But that's another good one. It's kind of like Axie Infinity. Axie Infinity was, I think, a dollar last year. Now it's $138. And it's a game. So I think if you guys start looking at what's popping now in the regular environment, that's the same thing that's going to be really doing well in the metaverse. So it's not really that hard. That's why I said, you know, in the last podcast, just follow history, learn about economics, and it should be easy for you guys to make money. So I just wanted to hop on here real quick. It's not going to be a super long podcast. Just because these thoughts came to my head. I'm just like, you know what? I don't think people really talk about, you know, what technology is doing, but they're also not telling people how they can make money the right way in a low expensive cost right now to make a lot of money in the future. And I think cryptocurrency, it's not all cryptocurrency, specific currencies in crypto are going to be able to do that for you. You know, all the coins that I mentioned are in the top 100. Some of them are in the top 15, but if it's in the top 100 and it's under a penny, it's going to get to 25 cents at some point in time or beyond that. So I think you guys should go into the crypto space if you want to take advantage of technology. If you are part of the deflationary camp, I want you guys to figure out how to get out of that and protect yourself in the future. And I think getting your, you know, like I said before, diversify through country, diversify through assets and getting real estate in the U.S., metaverse, crypto, internet, any type of real estate, get it. So guys, go out there and be great. You know what I mean? Make some money. And if you think my podcast is helpful, man, I'm trying to get the word out. Share it with your friends, man. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be this one. It could be anyone that you heard that you felt like it was beneficial. But guys, spread the word. I will catch you guys in the next episode. Take care.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.